Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Arca Continental conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that this call is being recorded. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn it over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the senior management team of Arca Continental to review the results for the fourth quarter and full year of 2017. The earnings release went out this morning, and it's available on the website at arcacontal.com. This call is also being transmitted via webcast, and you can access the replay. It's my pleasure to introduce our speakers. Joining us from Monterey, our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff, also the Deputy CEO, Mr. Arturo Gutierrez, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Emilio Marcos, as well as the Investor Relations team. They will be including some forward-looking comments today, so we ask that you please refer to the disclaimer in the earnings release for the conditions surrounding these statements. And I will now turn the call over to Arca Continental CEO to begin the presentation. So please go ahead, Pancho.
Well, thank you, Melanie, and good morning, everyone. At this point, last year, we knew that 2017 would be a landmark year for Arca Continental. Without a doubt, it turned out to be a transformational year thanks to the transaction with the Coca-Cola Company to acquire the territories in the U.S. Southwest region, which significantly increased our scale and value creation potential. Nonetheless, last year was not only about scale and geographic expansion. We also made significant progress in innovation of our portfolio with the acquisition of Aves, the leading soy-based beverage brand, jointly with the Coca-Cola Company and our bottler peers in Latin America. At this regard, we played an important role to rapidly leverage our strong market capabilities in Mexico and Argentina to capture significant market share in this important category. We are also driving innovation in the sparkling category, particularly in the non-calorie segment, with Coca-Cola Sin Azúcar in Latin America and Coke Zero Sugar in the U.S. We are reinvigorating this segment with a non-calorie, renovated formula that tastes even more like original Coca-Cola. We have achieved excellent results in the market through these new launches. Continuing with the innovation efforts, we also relaunched Diet Coke in our U.S. territories recently. As part of the campaign to re-energize and modernize Diet Coke with an updated look, sleek new packaging, and the debut of four bold new flavors. In another significant milestone in line with our strategy to create new avenues for growth, we completed the transfer of brand rights of Topo Chico Mineral Water in the U.S. to the Coca-Cola Company. This transaction further accelerates the expansion of the iconic brand in our market in Texas and Oklahoma, while the Coca-Cola Company carrying this out throughout the U.S., extending its reach and preserving its 122-year heritage. In the snack division, we recently completed the acquisition of Deep River, again, to broaden the diversification with innovative products and differentiated segments in the premium better-for-you snack industry, as we continue gaining scale and developing a platform for growth in this business. As I already mentioned, last year we dedicated our efforts to aggressively expand geographically, but in a logical way, and at the same time develop new avenues for growth and innovation in our portfolio. But in addition, to reinforce even more our innovation and future, We have actively worked to establish a new web-enabled point-of-sale digital platform, providing connectivity with large mom and pop customers in Mexico. We are collaborating closely with these customers to improve their performance and outlook, helping them improve store traffic, increase inventory turnover, and capture additional income from e-payments, while allowing us, with online sales information of our categories, as well as other consumer products within their stores. These capabilities, combined with our state-of-the-art data analytic tools, enable us to create more value today and in the future. This model will be expanded in Mexico rapidly and can be easily replicated across our territories in Latin America. In summary, throughout 2017, we have been solidifying the foundation to stand out in the markets in which we compete. Our culture and philosophy, always oriented to the market and competitiveness, combined with the talent and dedication of our people, will provide us with a strong framework for 2018 and beyond. Moving now to our consolidated results, let me start by saying that we are pleased with results reported today. Thanks to our discipline and innovation in market execution, as well as passion of every member of the Arca Continental team to better serve every day our customers and consumers, we were able to once again double our revenues in 5 years by third consecutive time in a profitable and sustainable manner. We remark that this goal has been achieved without the effects of the two operations acquired last year in the U.S. When we add their results, I mean U.S. new operations, it brings our total revenues for 2017 to a record level of over 137 billion pesos, an increase of 46% when compared to the previous year. Total consolidated volume grew 20% for the full year to 2.1 billion unit cases. We led industry growth and consolidated our market leadership, thanks to the integration of the new territories in the U.S., targeted market investment, as well as innovation in our product portfolio. Despite the global macroeconomic challenges and the impact of a major natural disasters in Texas and Peru, our team's commitment and professionalism helped us achieve, once again, another exceptional year of positive financial and operating results. In terms of profitability, our consolidated EBITDA rose 29% for the year, reaching 26 billion pesos, representing a margin of 19%. In addition to the strategies and actions in the market and portfolio previously mentioned, our initiatives to increase operational efficiency and maintain a stricter control over costs and expenses have always been part of our DNA, placing us in a strong position to face the prevailing business landscape and capture more opportunities. With that, I will hand the call over to Arturo, who will provide you with a more detailed outlook of our operating performance. Please, Arturo, if you are so kind.
Thank you, Pancho, and good morning, everyone. Let me expand on the results across our geographies. I will begin with Mexico, where we continue to demonstrate the resilience of our beverage business. We delivered yet another quarter of total volume growth, up 1.2%, cycling a strong 5.4% from the fourth quarter in 2016 and 7.3% in the same quarter in 2015. This confirms the sequential improvement of volume performance throughout the last 2.5 years. For the full year, total volume growth was up 2.6%, maintaining the positive momentum. Once again, we further strengthened our leadership position as we gained both volume and value share in the quarter, driven by growth in bottled water with 9.8% and 6.3% in still beverages. Jug water volume posted 1.8% growth, confirming our position as the leading brand in our territories. Total net revenues in Mexico rose 5.5% in the quarter and 9.6% for the full year to reach 58.5 billion pesos. Average price per case in Mexico, not including jug water, rose 4.4%, reaching 54.8 pesos as we continued perfecting execution at the point of sale and refining our commercial model act. EBITDA declined 4.3% in the quarter and increased 2.1% for the full year to 13.1 billion pesos, representing a margin of 22.4%, a contraction of 170 basis points due to increases in fuel costs and key inputs, particularly sugar. Moreover, we're capitalizing on the enhanced capabilities of our ACT commercial model, currently being rolled out. We're incorporating new service models as part of the route-to-market methodology, looking to maximize customer service while optimizing cost to serve. Among the highlights of the quarter, we launched the Addis Beverages portfolio in Mexico, providing our consumers with a wider range of choices in this category. In addition, Santa Clara Dairy grew double-digit, particularly in flavored milk, leveraging our strengths in the traditional and at-home channels. Furthermore, Coca-Cola Without Sugar continued delivering outstanding results with double-digit volume growth in the quarter. Moving now to our beverage business in South America, total volume in the fourth quarter was down 1.4%, driven by a volume decline in Peru, which was partially offset by growth in Argentina and Ecuador. Total volume for South America dropped 1.7% for the full year to 663 billion unit cases as we continued making sequential progress across the region despite the volatile macroeconomic environment. Total revenues increased 0.5% in the quarter and 8.4% for the full year, reaching 39.6 billion pesos. EBITDA declined 2.2% in the quarter and rose 10.4% for the full year to 7.7 billion pesos, representing a margin of 19.4%, an expansion of 36 basis points. We are confident that the revenue growth initiatives we have launched in these markets, supported by the strong rollout of Coca-Cola Without Sugar and Addis, as well as product innovation and reformulation, will enable us to sustain value share growth while expanding overall profitability. In Argentina, volume in the fourth quarter grew 2.7%, confirming the sequential recovery from previous quarters. The rollout of our commercial model act and the disciplined implementation of our price pack channel strategy drove these positive results. We're also committed to continue promoting affordability of our products by expanding the mix of returnable presentations. We were able to revert the negative trend in still beverages driven by growth in ready-to-drink juice, flavored water, and bottled water categories. Importantly, we're now fully realizing the benefits of the vertical integration thanks to our cane sugar mill. We consumed more than 12,000 tons of our own sugar this quarter, resulting in an overall 4% reduction in cost of these key inputs. Moving over to Ecuador, our beverage business posted a solid 3.6 volume growth during the fourth quarter, confirming the steady recovery despite the prevailing economic slowdown. Once again, Coca-Cola brand posted solid volume growth in the quarter, up 6.8%, thanks to affordability of the new Coca-Cola Without Sugar. Tonicorp, our value-added dairy business in Ecuador, jointly owned with the Coca-Cola company, posted low single-digit sales decline in the quarter and was flat for the full year. We are driving growth, profitability, and market share gains by focusing on our core categories, yogurt, flavored milk, and ice cream. We continue strengthening execution at the point of sale, supported by key capabilities of our global commercial model act, namely RGM and go-to-market models. Tonicorp continued consolidating its market leadership driven by product innovation. This quarter, we launched new products in the yogurt, oatmeal, and ice cream categories with great results. Spoonable yogurt with cereal, traditional drinkable oatmeal, and new flavors of ice cream. Our beverage business in Peru posted a 5.5 volume decline in the fourth quarter and 1% drop for the full year. Total revenues increased 3.7% in the fourth quarter and 12.5% for the full year, driven by growth in the sparkling category. We continue promoting immediate consumption in the low or zero calorie category with an affordable pricing strategy. Also in the quarter, we launched Fuse Tea in Peru, expanding our portfolio of still beverages and making our entrance in the tea category in this country. We continued sequentially improving overall profitability despite economic weakness and weather-related events that affected consumption. We are confident that the economy should pick up steam in 2018 as rising wages and employment gains are expected to spur household spending, while the recovering commodity prices and the ramp-up in infrastructure spending will underpin fixed investments. Moving on to our beverage operation in the United States, Coca-Cola Southwest continued to deliver solid revenue growth for its third consecutive quarter. Since the beginning of the transition, we have focused on standing up a new organization, integrating new IT systems, investing in infrastructure, and most importantly, promoting a customer-centric strategy. Fourth quarter organic revenue increased 4.3% to $653 million, with a total volume of 111 million unit cases, up 1.3% from the previous year. These figures include the results for the Oklahoma territory. This positive performance allowed us to grow volume and value share in NARTD, driven by growth in the sparkling category. Stills category also posted value share gains supported by strong growth in energy, sports, tea, and juice categories. We successfully launched our fundamental scorecard across the entire organization and completed training and certification of more than 2,000 frontline associates to align metrics through our three major channels. Since the launch, we have reduced out-of-stock levels and significantly improved our market execution scores. In 2017, we continued to grow our customer value proposition by increasing active users of our B2B platform, MyCoke.com, by 27%. We processed and dispatched over 100,000 orders through MyCoke.com, a 16.3% growth versus previous year. Finally, last month, we began distributing Topo Chico mineral water on the Red Truck in Texas. Our retail strategy is focused on large and convenience stores to reach new consumers while protecting the existing base. During the fourth quarter, we began integrating our Oklahoma market unit, formerly Great Plains Coca-Cola Bottling Company. We will deploy a new operating model looking to utilize our production capacity more effectively, as well as a broader reorganization of functions. As these operational changes are rolled out, our team also remains focused on the successful IT migration to the SAP platform. I will now report on the progress of our synergy plans. I'm delighted to report that we met all of our 2017 goals. In the last two quarters, we captured the first benefits of the inline blow molding initiative, achieved several operational efficiencies, and leveraged procurement negotiations in key inputs. Importantly, now with the integration of the new Oklahoma territory, we are using our synergy target. We are updating our synergy target from the original goal of 60 to 80 million U.S. dollars to 90 million within a three-year period. We continue building work plans for short and mid-range synergies. We are also identifying continuous improvement projects across the company around raw materials, packaging, sales, supply chain, and transportation, and administrative processes. We will continue to act upon revenue expanding alternatives in our revenue growth management and go-to-market processes by replicating successful commercial practices from Arca Continental. To conclude with the review of our operations, let's move now to the food and snacks division, consisting of Bocados in Mexico, Wise and Deep River in the U.S., and Inalexa in Ecuador. Bocados continued building its growth momentum, posting sequential mid-single-digit sales increases in the quarter and the full year, driven by exceptional growth in supermarket and convenience store segments and expanded product coverage. Bocados drove sales growth by capitalizing on key tie-in opportunities with Coca-Cola to offer attractive cross promotions in the traditional and modern trade channels. Our new plant in Querétaro is 100% operational, with four production lines supporting growth in key snack categories, such as extruded snacks, corn chips, tortilla chip, and marzipan. Wise Snacks posted single-digit sales decline in the fourth quarter and the full year, facing a challenging year characterized by retail volatility and overall category pressure from aggressive promotional activity. Our cheese puffs, popcorn, and variety pack categories continue to grow, while the potato chip category remains flat. Wise continued expanding distribution of Si Señor snacks in the Chicago area and in New Mexico, capturing additional market share in the Hispanic community segment. As Pancho mentioned, last November we completed the acquisition of Deep River Snacks, a leading company in the premium better-for-you snacks based in Connecticut. Deep River Snacks rounds out our portfolio to capture both the conventional and growing better-for-you segment. We're rapidly integrating this operation, leveraging our existing production facilities in Pennsylvania and Texas. Inalecsa posted mid-single-digit sales increases in the quarter and the full year. We continued innovating our product portfolio with the launch of new cookie products. Moreover, we are moving forward with cross-fertilization of the snack portfolio across all of our operations. We successfully launched Prispas extruded chips in Ecuador, which is one of our most successful brands in Mexico. I will now turn it over to Emilio to give you further details on our financial performance. Please, Emilio.
Thank you, Arturo, and good morning, everyone. We appreciate your interest in our year-end company results. Excluding the integration of Coca-Cola Southwest Beverages in the U.S., we reported good results for 2017 despite the challenges we face in the countries where we operate. While in Mexico, we maintain a solid top line due to an adequate pricing strategy and innovative execution, the profitability was impacted by higher raw material prices along the year. In South America, it was the other way around, as the top line suffered due to a slow consumption trends, while the profitability was expanded mainly by the company's capability to optimize cost and SG&A structure. Now, talking about the consolidated revenues, they increased 53% in the fourth quarter. The U.S. region contributed with 13.3 billion pesos, while Mexico region increased 5.5%, mainly due to a price mix increase of 4.4% in the various business. In 2017, revenues grew 46.4%, with Mexico and South America posting 9.6% and 8.4% growth, respectively. Comparable currency neutral and without the U.S. operation, we had a good performance where net revenue increased 6.7% in the quarter and 9.1% in the year. In the fourth quarter, we reported a gross margin of 45.2%, versus 46.6% in the same period of 2016, which is down 140 basis points, mainly due to the integration of the Coca-Cola Southwest Beverage, which caused 110 basis points of the impact, and the remaining 30 basis points were mostly from the 30% sugar price increase in Mexico. In the fourth quarter, the consolidated EBITDA rose to 6.8 billion pesos, increasing 31.6% for a margin of 17.8%. The dilution year over year is explained by the contribution margin effect combined with higher selling expenses driven by fuel prices increase. In 2017, EBITDA went up 21.4% to 26 billion pesos for a margin of 19%. On a currency neutral comparable basis and excluding Coca-Cola Southwest, the EBITDA was slightly below than the same quarter of last year and 4.2% above for the full year. In terms of the comprehensive cost of financing, our dollar cash position and the Mexican peso devaluation in the fourth quarter resulted in an exchange rate gain, reaching an income of 237 million pesos from an expense of 603 million pesos in the same period of last year. For the full year, the expense increased only 2.9% to 2.5 billion pesos. In December, we announced the successful issuance of our first private placement debt offering by Coca-Cola Southwest Beverages for $800 million. We have received $600 million on December 2017 and will get the additional $200 next March. The proceeds have been used to refinance debt in U.S. barrage operation in U.S. Half of the total debt matured in December 2029, accruing interest at a fixed rate of 3.49%, while the rest in December 2032, accruing interest at a fixed rate of 3.64%. This issuance reached the lowest spreads in the public and private capital markets for any Mexican corporate in the U.S. in the 12 and 15-year tranches. In the quarter, due to the fiscal reform in the U.S., we booked a one-time non-cash benefit resulting an effective tax rate of minus 10.5% and a positive amount of 551 million pesos as an income tax provision. For the full year, income taxes decreased 24% to 3.3 billion. Effective tax rate for 2017 was 16.3%. Because of this adjustment, net income increased 121% in the quarter and 45% in the year. Comparable net income increased 14.2% in the quarter and 22.2% for the full year. As of December, our balance sheet reflected a cash position of 23.8 billion pesos, a total debt of 55 billion pesos, for a net debt to EBITDA coverage ratio of 1.2 times. In 2017, our operating cash flow reached 22 billion pesos, showing the company's ability to generate a good level of cash inflows. The total CapEx investment for the year were 11.2 billion pesos, mainly in production capabilities for Mexico and U.S., as well as distribution investments in Mexico and Peru. This year, we'll continue to focus on what we know best, innovating in the market to meet the needs of our customers and consumers, while at the same time delivering profitability to our shareholders, despite the expected economic volatility from the political events in the different countries where we operate. 2018 will also be key to completing the integration of the production and commercial process initiatives at Coca-Cola Southwest Beverages to keep up with our plan to achieve an amount of synergies close to $90 million in the next 3 years. And with that, I'll turn it back to Pancho.
Thank you, Emilio. Now, let me give you our guidance for 2018. We expect a consolidated annual volume growth of around 2%. And with selective price adjustments to at least reflect inflation in the countries where we operate. Anyway, we will ensure that our products are affordable and competitive through our flexible price packaging architecture. We plan to invest 6 to 7% of total sales in CapEx. We will pursue prudent and targeted market investments to boost execution, information technology, and digital innovation, coupled with strategic projects to upgrade our production facilities and logistics capabilities, mainly in the U.S. Looking ahead, we expect a favorable commodity environment. Sugar prices in Mexico should stabilize and start a downward trend throughout the year, given a global and domestic oversupply. Our strategic investments in sugar mills in Mexico and Argentina will provide us with more flexibility and, very importantly, more competitiveness. Furthermore, we lock our fructose supply for 2018 for Mexico and our sugar needs for Peru at very competitive prices. In addition, the foreign exchange rate of our U.S. dollar-denominated raw materials in Mexico is already hedged at reasonable levels for most of this year and lower than previous ones, at a lower level than previous year. Also, this year, we are implementing a hedging program to mitigate aluminum market fluctuation, which is a key input in our U.S. operation. Prices for PET resin and other plastic packaging materials are expected to remain constant in dollar terms due to steady oil prices. We have already secured our supply and locked in price formulas for the year at very competitive rates. Moreover, in 2018, we will provide full support to Coca-Cola's World Without Waste Global Initiative by leveraging our recycling investments and alliances in Ecuador and Peru, respectively, as well as PetStar in Mexico, the world's largest recycling plant of food-grade PET. We aim to raise the ambitious goal of collecting and recycling one PET bottle for each one we sell by 2030. In closing, I would like to reiterate that our solid market and financial position, our expanded geographical presence in the Americas, of course, our strong portfolio, and even more important, our firm commitment to serve our customers and consumers with excellence, with great talent that we have. Those are the pillars for our profitable growth in 2018 and the years to come. Thank you for your continued support and confidence, and I would like to open the call for questions. Operators, we are ready to receive the questions, please.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. And if at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Due to high interest and time, please limit yourself to one question. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Lauren Torres with UBS.
Hi, and good morning, everyone. My question is somewhat more strategic in nature, and Pancho, we've seen you readily hit and or exceed this 5-year target of doubling revenues, and I believe it's in place again for 2022 to do it again. So could you talk a little bit about the dynamics of reaching that target? I think you have a few very strong years behind you, particularly in Mexico, and then now the integration of the U.S. How do we think about this going forward? I think Mexico may get a bit tougher, at least that's the inclination right now. Peru's a bit challenging, as is Ecuador. So could you give us some sense of the upside here, whether it's from a country standpoint or a product standpoint? Is there more inorganic growth to expect? How do we get to this target? And like I said, more of a strategic-related question. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Lauren. It's really a great pleasure to talk with you. And, it's a very strategic question, as you mentioned. When we said in the year 2012 that we were doubling and targeting doubling the sales on a profitable manner and so sustainable, we were at the level of 50 billion pesos. And then what we mentioned in this report is that last year, after 5 years of that goal, we reached that level. In fact, we surpassed that level in the level of 103 billion pesos, even without the operations in the U.S. or the recent transactions in the U.S. Because obviously they were not originally considered. We were targeting other areas as well as organic growth through that past 5 years. And so when we announced again to double the size for the year 2022, we are talking, it's again compared with 2017, we are having as a basis, let's say, something around 103 billion pesos. So for sure we are going to be above that doubling, because if you multiply it by 2, that will give you 206 billion pesos, which certainly we feel comfortable that we will obviously will move even at a better level than that, because just with the U.S. transaction, our budget today, it's really half of that way or more, you know? So if you check the numbers, I mean, of the, including the operations of U.S., it's $137 billion, but it's just three quarters of the year in the U.S. So we put everything there, and the growth that we are going to have this year and so on, and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the budget is, I mean, a very interesting number, no? Obviously not already in the 206 or 210 billion, but it's really an important step to move into that direction. So if we have, let's say, already more than half of that way with the U.S. transaction, it means that we feel very comfortable that we will be even above the 206 billion pesos, which is the double of 2017, just considering the 103, which is the number, billion pesos, which is the number without the U.S. transaction. That is very important. Second one, definitely we have created, let's say, the basis to continue growing with innovation, as we mentioned in several areas at the beginning of my speech, with new categories. I'm obviously continue reinforcing Coca-Cola. I mean, this is our basis, our nature. No? But certainly new categories like the soybeans or all the effects, and soy milk and those things which are coming. And hopefully that will give us a good platform. But additionally to new categories or the new avenues for growth in the U.S., which we have established already a specific plan to reinvigorate the growth there. There will be other areas like the way of executing better through our digital platform. So with the connectivity with the customers. So in that regard, I mean, we hope that we can establish a really much better structure to even improve even more, even, let's say, in a very, let's say, accurate way of minimizing any stock out or optimizing the portfolio and so on and so forth. So all the initiatives in innovation, in product portfolio, as well as in digital platforms, definitely it's another strong path for our organic growth, as well as the new opportunities we have in the U.S., which obviously we are just starting there, working hard with the team there, with many opportunities to increase the business. And, but in addition to that, we have more areas for growth, which are really the possibility of inorganic acquisitions or M&As. We continue working on that, and I just want to mention that this year we are obviously focused on consolidating what we have done and focus more on really the synergies in the U.S. as well as reinvigorate the volume in certain markets, and we hope that we can achieve very well these actions in this year, so we can move through the end of the year and beginning next one into new possibilities of continue working hard on the M&A activity, and of course in the area of our core business, which is the beverage area with Coca-Cola, as well as with the new leg that we are now, let's say, forming, establishing in the food and snack division. But obviously everything to create value and taking care of the way of acquiring synergies and the multiples that should be achievable and workable to do that. So those are the three basic areas, let's say. Summarizing, first is the if we add to the 103 billion Mexican pesos of the 2017 without the U.S. territories. We add the U.S. territories, it will give us more than half of this way. Second one the new portfolios as well as strengthening our really all the execution capabilities, including digital platforms, which will really reinforce and renew all the capabilities with the much more accurate information and models that will help us a lot to continue improving not only in Mexico but in other territories. And third one, having a good and good position with Coca-Cola, certainly with a close relationship with them, and a great talent, insight, and capabilities. The third action will be through the year end and the years to come, continue moving into the inorganic growth through M&A activity in the areas which make sense to create value within our beverage, let's say, core business, but also now starting to develop the food and snack business division, which we recently created. Those are the three targets that we have. So certainly we foresee that we will have not only doubling the number of 2017 without the U.S. territories, but even more than that, because with these strategies and actions, we will have the possibility to surpass and have a better future there. Thank you.
Thank you, Pancho.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Lavoy with HSBC.
Good morning, everyone. Pancho, you and Arturo have spoken clearly about the two top priorities of creating an intense service culture and of broadening the price pack offering, the segmentation side. But I was hoping that this morning you could also elaborate on supply chain upgrades. And we see, for example, low or no availability of this new Diet Coke in some U.S. markets. And I was wondering what's been your experience with this first major new relaunch, and what does it inform you about what you need to do going forward in your territories and supply chain issues for doing really well with these types of launches, since innovation is an important part of the growth, as you've mentioned.
Well, Carlos, thank you very much to ask this question. It's very interesting, and I mean, it's the supply chain and all the infrastructure is very important. And it's well, before answering that, again, thank you for all your support and your advices. And going to the answer on this, certainly, before talking specifically on new Diet Coke issues and so on, in our synergy plan that we have established, very clear, together obviously with all the team that we have there, the heart synergies are referred to basically supply chain system, no? And it's really important to work in that direction. And there are several areas in which we are working, no? First, we have to work on reducing the weight of the PET bottles. As we have mentioned before, it's a challenge because it's a system and so on. But I hope that we can have the support from our friends in the U.S. Coca-Cola bottling system and Coca-Cola to move forward soon in that regard. There will be probably two steps, no? I mean, it's not going to be one step, because one area is just the adequation of the packaging and molds, and another area will be related to, let's say, a system that assures the right turnover of the inventory and the market point of sale. But we hope that we can reach it. I'm talking about an important savings if we move into that. I mean, which obviously I'm not asking anything else beyond what we have already in Mexico, in the north of Mexico, in which the temperature is, you know how we have the summer here, no? So there will be no problem to move into that direction in the U.S. So the second one is, and that doesn't require too much investment, by the way. The second one is the area of the area for inline blowing. I mean, I hate really the phrase empty bottles all around the system. And obviously we had to justify the economics, but certainly there are a lot of movement of empty bottles from centralized area to some distant areas. And we are now investing, we started investing last year in the, let's say, in ergo machines, which really we have blowing and bottling in the same machine, basically, which is the new technology in San Antonio and Abilene. But we are now moving into other areas in the, let's say, Fort Worth and maybe soon in the Houston area and so on. And we think that there will be also further improvements. Same with the slick can, and which we import from others, not import, let's say we bring from far away bottlers. So the freight of, let's say, of products and especially empty bottles should be diminished. And we have to invest and to arrange that, but it's an important area. And will, by the way, give us more flexibility, because if we have the blowing machines there, in line, in an ergo machine, which is the one that blows and at the same time bottle, or separated line, but in blowing anyways, in at the plant, will give us more control so we can manage the, let's say, the way of developing more packaging at a better rate and a better cost, and certainly faster than a centralized process, no? So there will be other benefits which are not only based on the freight and saving freight. There will be benefits of being more, let's say, agile in this process. No? So if we move further, I mean, not only PET but also cans and those, we have a tremendous opportunity. The same with cardboard, the same with other things or film, things which certainly will bring more savings. And if we move further, we can talk about certainly the area of logistics and where we have to have the distribution centers and plants, in which we have already a plan of synergizing some of the infrastructure there to assure that that we have a better cost in to serve. And to move into a specific question on the Diet Coke issue, and how is that performing and what we have been doing, I will ask Arturo to have further information in that regard. Please, Arturo.
Sure. Sure. Hello, Carlos. From the Diet Coke perspective, you know, first the market. You know, just a few weeks after the launch, we're performing really well. We've increased our volume more than 5% versus previous year, and that represents a significant swing. And this particular brand that you know was not performing very well in the past. So we're satisfied there. We are also above our plan in placement of displays, getting more customer space. So the flavors are doing great. Cherry particularly is performing really well in our markets. From a supply chain point of view, we know when we came into the U.S., this is a much more integrated system. And that, you know, it requires a lot of collaboration among all the parties. We certainly need to improve there in that integration. And this is really a new system, although, you know, it's been in place for some time. But now we don't have, you know, CCR on the table, as you and I have discussed. So this is a different conversation. And we believe it is a system that is well designed, but it is complex. And we need to work to, you know, improve our supply chain operation there and lead that conversation. The advantage that we have in Texas and in many other instances is that, you know, Texas is fairly autonomous from a supply chain point of view. So that's why many of the initiatives that Pancho has mentioned could be carried out on our own, you know, independently of things that we need to collaborate with the system.
That's very important. You know, I mean, Texas, well, of course, Oklahoma and other areas that we have there, but Texas is the 9th or 10th largest economy in the world, so it has size enough to start moving in that direction. And I mentioned also other areas of opportunity. It's amazing, but just exchanging practices in the supply chain for how we manage the water or CO2 or, the gas that we use, the carbon dioxide that we use. It's amazing that we find opportunities in both sides. So We found that the area of opportunity is important, and we will follow up, not only because of the cost and savings, but also to have, up to a certain extent, more flexibility, understanding that there is a system there. But thanks to the size and thanks to our proximity to Mexico, probably we are going to make some exchange of products and lines, which will make the life easier in that regard to move forward and more agile into the market, Carlos, because up to a certain extent it's let's say, connected to the what we had to do in savings and improvement in the infrastructure and operation. I mean, we cannot just talk about the market if we don't assure that the line of assistance to assure that this can be done in the right manner. You are right in that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Robarts with Citigroup.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking the question. I wanted to stay in the U.S. as well, and have I guess a three-part question. Sorry, the first thing is, you know, the increase in the guidance outlook. It's interesting, just taking the midpoint of your old range and going up to the $90 million. You know, that's a 25% increase, and I guess it'd be interesting to hear what's giving you these incremental confidence. It sounds like, as you just stated, a lot of the synergy capture is around the supply chain, but could this you know, higher estimate be reflective of things that you're seeing on the revenue side or on the OPEX? So that's the first part. Secondly, it's helpful that you give us the volume increase for the United States. And I guess just doing the math, it looks like your average selling price is up 300 basis points, which is a hefty number. Is it fair to say that what's driving this revenue per case is on the packaging side, or could it be also reflective of channel mix or actually just portfolio? And finally, the third piece, just to round it out, any thoughts around the go-to-market implications from the Dr. Pepper, Snapple, and Keurig business? I know you guys do the distribution for DPS in several Texas markets, so any thoughts around that would be helpful. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Alex. Really, again, it's good to talk with you, and I hope to see you soon again. Yeah. Just let me answer the first one, and I will pass the other two to Arturo. Just to mention that the last time that we had, let's say, at the beginning we started saying a range from 60 to 80. Now we feel more comfortable to the 80 million, definitely. And certainly we have Oklahoma, so we are now in the 90, okay? So the number is, let's say, that we have mentioned it was a range originally, then we mentioned just last quarter that we feel comfortable with the upper side of that range, which is 80, and we add the Oklahoma synergies, and then we have the total of 90 million U.S. dollars of synergies within the frame of 3 years. So we will have a clear program on that. We have the name and the last name of who is responsible of that, leading this process, and what do we need to do to achieve that goals. The improvement is that, more than an improvement is, we certify that the upper limit is clearly achievable, and we add the Oklahoma numbers to that. And if we add Oklahoma, we talk more about hard synergies, because it's a very close territory, you know, and it means that we have, let's say, much more synergies in the areas of cost and certainly we will continue with the synergies in the area of sales and revenues. But let's say being so close to our territories in the Texas area makes really much more clear that the synergies in Oklahoma will be more related to the cost and hard synergies. So that's just a general figure on that, and I will pass now to Arturo so he can mention further details on the
sure.
rest.
Sure. Hi, Alex. With respect to synergies, just to mention that, you know, we try to be very rigorous in our follow-up on our synergy plan, so we classify the synergies with respect to, you know, how mature the projects are. And as we continue to analyze the projects, we can, you know, we narrow the range of possibilities, and that certainly, you know, been more optimistic as we go on. And we have both the saving synergies, which include, you know, a number of projects, improvement to production lines, yields in our plants, carbon dioxide, energy consumption, optimizing in secondary packaging, using more of the shrink wrap instead of the plastic trays, reduction in freight costs. Pancho already mentioned that. Inline blowing in one additional plant. You know, synergies from procurement and key categories. And we continue to identify those projects. And on the revenue side, we also have, you know, a number of projects replicating basically and adapting our commercial practices from Arca Continental to the U.S., the recent deployment of the Commercial Act model in Coca-Cola Southwest, and better execution of the point of sale, and specific projects in vending operations and service models for the on-premise channel, and expansion of Topo Chico, development of stills categories, et cetera. So we're, you know, getting better also in estimating the benefits that we will get from those synergies. So moving on to the second part of your question is that we, during the fourth quarter, we had an increase in volume of 1.4% versus previous year and 4.4% in revenue. What we had is, a price that continued to increase to a total rate of 3%, that would got us in the whole year to 2.9. And that increase is basically part true rate increase in prices and price improvement in mix. I would say it's about half and half. So it's like 1.5 and 1.5. And we have a more strategic approach to price package management that allowed us to increase prices and at the same time, you know, continue gaining share, because it's also important to mention that we continue to gain share in the market. So where does that growth comes from? We promoted the 12-ounce can package in large store customers. That grew 4.3% in volume. In the on-premise channel, we also redefined some routing processes and established segmentation practices and to increase some customer visits. In small stores, we grew as well, driven by Monster cans and 20-ounce, which is a very important package there. So we're growing in different channels and through different strategies, and we plan to continue to do that throughout 2018. Very importantly, what we've done in the U.S. is one important milestone is the launching of the fundamentals culture that you're familiar with and we have in Mexico and the rest of Latin America. We train our frontline associates and we have reduced out of stocks in our customers, and we continue to do that in 2018. And we started to track our basic metrics in three segments: large stores, small stores, and the on-premise market. So we expect a lot from that initiative over the year. And finally, on your last part, we don't believe at this point that you know, the acquisition of Dr. Pepper will affect our licensing agreement. We actually have a meeting with them. We had a long-standing relationship. We just signed an agreement, a long-term agreement, 25-year agreement with them. And but more than the agreement, I think what's important here is that it is a win-win relationship. We know that these brands combined are winning in the market and there's a marketplace where we operate in Texas. So I think it makes total sense to be partners in that market.
Yes, and we are combining the number one and number two brand there, really clear. So it makes a lot of sense. Huh? we feel very well connected with them and good relationships, so I'm sure that this business will continue for the future. Thank you, Arturo, and I hope that you have enough information. I just will add that really this situation of prices in the U.S., it is very important for us, for everyone, I would say. So we are working now and investing in a new tool for what we call the profit seeker and other, let's say, RGM tools to really make the deep analysis on this as well as the new packages to bring. You know, all the negotiation in the U.S. are well in advance, takes years. So, but we are working out to have through the end of this year and obviously next year, 2019, a much better, let's say, level in terms of prices. I think price is king, obviously a very well-managed price-back architecture, but price at the end is king. And no, we know very well 1% of price multiplied by 2.7 or 2.8 billion, it's really $25 billion, which certainly can change even more the basis of our energy plan. Thank you very much for your question. It's very important.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, Pancho and Arturo. Thanks for taking my question. I had a quick one, and I wanted to shift gears to South America. I'm seeing the margins that you have individually in each of the countries, Peru, Argentina, and Ecuador, and I noticed that your individual margin in Peru actually improved, whereas in Ecuador and Argentina, it declined. And I found that a little bit counterintuitive, obviously, because volumes in Argentina and Ecuador are improving already. And not only volumes are weak in Peru, but also you're going through this process of increasing direct distribution. So I wanted to hear, I guess, your qualitative comments on how do you see profitability in these markets progressing. And is there any specific item that impacted profitability in Argentina and Ecuador during the quarter that could prevail in the coming year or so? Thank you.
Thanks, Antonio. Nice talking to you, and it's an excellent question. I mean, regarding some countries like Peru, let's say, the volume is affected mainly by products which are not so profitable, no? Let's say I'm talking about generally water, things like that. Especially during the last quarter of the year and the first quarter of this year. So as long as we keep very well managing the products which are more, let's say, better positioned in terms of profits, that will be the great mix. And beyond that, we have a very good price for sugar now because we established, as I mentioned in my pitch, we locked already the price for sugar at a very low level compared with the previous year. So all of this together will give us a very good framework for the Peruvian operation in terms of the margin. No? I think the Argentinian has been just a temporary situation because we, let's say, increased the salaries according to all the process negotiations there in the centralized manner up to a certain extent in the Argentinian country. And that really is a temporary situation. Meanwhile, we reflect those into the prices. Volume is behaving relatively well, so we don't see any major issue. And I think in Ecuador, please, Arturo, if you can mention more about the Ecuador, and certainly what are we going to do to recover the right levels in that direction.
Sure. Hello, Tonio. How are you today? Ecuador has been in a very, very challenging environment, although we've improved the volume in the recent quarter. We still have, you know, slow growth and soft consumer demand. The first part of the year, we also faced the comparison versus the conditions before the tax. So the beverage industry as a whole continues falling in Ecuador, and sparkling is
is the category that is most affected. So we have the appearance obviously of lower price brands and strong promotional activity in the market, and we have to respond tactically, especially in the flavor segment, where we were more affected than in any other one. We had to implement some tactical actions, and that obviously affects margins, but at the same time balances our overall business in terms of our growth, our presence and share in the market, and our profitability. We continue to maintain solid market share. We even grew in most of the categories except for probably tea in Ecuador. But the market continues to be, I would say, the most challenging from that point of view in South America. So especially in the stills category as well, which are the ones that contribute to margins, those segments have been declining significantly. The tea and juice segment, and we've been gaining share, but they have declined, and some of these categories have migrated to other lower price per case categories. So we have to leverage more our returnable packaging, and that's what we plan to do mostly in 2018. If you see a returnable in Ecuador, and has not grown that much, and probably this is the biggest opportunity that we have in that market.
Yes. Well, I mean, and the other countries, as I mentioned, in Argentina, prices are down, especially because the economy seems to be better, and we have a very good position comparatively speaking, so we will recover that rapidly. Ecuador is a more challenging area. But anyway, we hope that through the second quarter we will be in much better position, right?
Okay. Yes, and we have already increased prices of products in Ecuador, our Coca-Cola 192 ml returnable has increased, our Coca-Cola Fanta and Sprite 3 liters already have increased this year, and same for some changes in packaging that will give us a higher price per case. So we've implemented that. So this first quarter and first half of the year will look much better in that respect.
So summarizing, it's a great question. I mean, certainly we're working on that. And again, Peru, better, let's say, picture. Volume-wise, not necessarily, but it's really the mix of more profitability, which is now coming better. And certainly with low sugar prices and more synergies to come, of the still consolidation of that country will give us a good frame to move ahead. So we have a better perspective. And in Argentina, it was a temporary situation that we had to adjust. Prices are very acceptable to move. And beyond that, in Argentina, remember that we have the sugar mill, which we just started operation by, September last year. So we will start now using more of that sugar mill to be more competitive, and we'll bring a better also frame for pretty soon. And volume-wise is good. And Ecuador, as mentioned by Arturo, is really the issue of all the economy, which anyway we are well positioned. And now we are moving prices very strategically at this time, and probably by second quarter we see the results. And in Mexico, we are moving also prices. I mean, that's at the end of the year, and again, doing that in March, 1st of March. So I think that, and I think the market is doing that, not only ourselves. I mean, we see that there is pressure on the sugar, but more importantly, as we mentioned in my speech, sugar prices are really going down, and the exchange rate that we are using at this time in comparison with the exchange rate that we fixed by basically hedged last year, it's much better level now. So the combination of those aspects of raw materials coming down in terms of prices and the negotiations that we have and the exchange rate hedging and the price increases that we have in our products end of the year and March will give us a good frame to have a better margin. I mean, so obviously always taking care of our competitiveness and market share especially value chair and transaction chair. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you, Pancho and Arturo.
Great. I appreciate your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Hernandez with Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. My question is regarding the effective tax rate. What should we expect for 2018? And also, should we expect any effect from the U.S. tax reform? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Antonio. And that's a very, let's say, we need a PhD to understand this in taxes. So I will ask Emilio to participate in this. Please, Emilio, you are great.
Well, I don't have the PhD. Amazing. We're working on understanding. But well, as I mentioned, we have to let's say to have an impact on our results based on the fiscal reform. So you know that we needed to reflect the change on the tax rate in U.S. from 35% to 21%. So that's why we need to adjust the deferred tax liability that we have at the beginning of the transaction in April, since the tax rate was 35%. So since the reform was enacted last year, December 2017, we needed to update that tax rate. So that's why we needed to reduce deferred tax liability, and also that change deduct also the income tax line, as you can see in our income statement. So that had an impact of around 2 billion pesos. So that's why comparable net income for the quarter, you would have seen an increase of 14.2%.
Comparable,
yes, and for the year 22.2% to a little bit more than 11 billion pesos in net income.
So bottom line is improving anyway. So the combination of all these deferred.
But it's important also to say it again that this 2 billion pesos is a non-cash and one time. So that's not coming from the operation. So that's why it's important to know the real number from the operation.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, since this is a one time again, we will expect to have to normalize, you know, the effective tax rate starting this year. I mean, in January. So we won't have any additional effect in 2018. So the tax rate will normalize around 30%. That's one part of the question. And the other one, it's also important because. Well, as you know, again, the fiscal reform changed the rate from 35 to 21, but I think that we need to consider the whole reform because there are some changes in the taxable base and also some things that have been canceled, deductions that are canceled. So at the end, the final rate will not be exactly 21. It will we expect to be around 24%, but at the end we'll have a cash benefit of around $25 million, which of course we plan to reinvest those savings in our infrastructure in U.S. and in the market, of course, to continue growing and to improve our profitability. So I think that it was a very good timing.
we have good luck.
We have a good positive impact on this tax reform.
The acquisition was, let's say, good, not in terms of only of operation and certainly strategic and so on, but additionally the value has been increased. No, you know. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks for
thank you, Antonio.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Miguel Hidalgo with Credicorp Capital.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my question. It's just a few quick questions. The first one is, I understand that some of the synergies in the U.S. operation have already been achieved, and I was wondering if you have any number about this. And my second question is about the 2018 guidance you mentioned, 2% consolidated volume growth. I was wondering if this 2% growth includes in its base the U.S. volumes, and if you, I'm not sure if you gave any guidance about margins.
Well, thank you very much, Miguel. And regarding your question of synergies in the U.S. up to now, we mentioned, we installed some equipment, and especially for inline blowing in San Antonio and Abilene, and we start moving some actions in terms of packaging some of the hard issues, and start moving somehow also a little bit more volume here and there. So we hope that that will be much better in the coming months, but and especially coming years. But up to now, we have the level of $10 to $12 million of, let's say, of synergies at the running rate. No, then we have a long way to really move, and we have established 3 years for that. So we have this year, next year, and probably part of the 2020, because we had made this acquisition in April, May last year. So the 3 years will be finally reached in the middle of the 2020. So we hope that we can move faster, but there are things that take time because, as was mentioned by Arturo, it's a collaborative process that we have there, and we have to work hard with the system to assure that we can move into specific areas. But we are quite comfortable of reaching this $90 million. So. In our synergies in this time. Please, Arturo, if you can continue adding more information, please.
Yes, well, basically, as Pancho said, we have reached that already that target, for which was our target for 2017, and the projects that would support are basically the inline blowing in two of our facilities. Pancho's already mentioned that reduces our freight cost for bottles, so that's been significant. Probably half of the benefit comes from that. And there are a number of procurement improvements in the operation. Also the project of secondary packaging that we started to implement in some of our facilities. And that also is, you know, an example of what we're going to do with the rest of our operation in terms of secondary packaging. And some additional synergies on the revenue side, I would say they're minor as compared to the others. So we've achieved that target, and also kind of you know, sets the pace for 2018, because some of these projects will continue. We have some carryover for some of these projects, and also just replicating these practices in the rest of our plant. So that's for the, you know, the 2017 synergies. So I'll turn it back to Pancho for the guidance.
Yes, well, in general, we normally don't give specific, let's say, guidance into margins, but we expect in general that we will maintain the margin to, you know, that we will have, let's say, 12 months of U.S. operation, which certainly in the U.S. operation has lower margin, no? So if we are expecting, let's say, in general, I mean, we normally don't give that guidance, but through, I mean, all the companies to have, even with more mix of U.S., let's say, operation, even with that effect, we will try to maintain the margin on top of the company, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Thank you, Mel. Appreciate it.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Pancho for closing remarks.
Thank you. So all of you, thank you for participating in our call and for your continued interest in Arca Continental. And as always, our investor relations team or ourselves, we are available for any additional questions you may have. It will be a pleasure to pleasure to talk with you. Well, to all of you, have a great day and a blessed and happy weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.
Thanks.